Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is the TS Radio Network. I'm your host, Marty Oakley, and tonight is Whistleblowers, and we do this in coordination with the Whistleblower Summit and Marcel Reed. We'll be at the summit again this year, as will Tanya. Several of our other guests and hosts will also be attending. We have a lot going on, and so I hope you can come. It's open to the public. It's a wonderful place to go to network, to meet other whistleblowers, just to basically let people know what is happening and what's going on. Like I say, it is a tremendous place to be. Our guest tonight is Tanya Hathaway, and Tanya hosts Tanya Talks here on TS Radio, and she. She has just done some stellar work. Most recently, in her investigations of the corruption in Oklahoma, she has zeroed in on prison reform. This is a state that has more people in prison than any other state per capita. They're siphoning people into the prison system, and of course there's money to be made from these people who are imprisoned. If you know anything about how the prisons for profits work, when the state contracts with private prisons, they guarantee that they will keep a certain rate of occupancy, usually 90% or more, and there's a penalty to be paid if they drop below that. So the higher the occupancy rate, the less it costs the state, but the more the company makes that's running the private prison. Now, the prisons, particularly in Oklahoma, are known for their inmate abuse, just for the corruption that goes on at the management level in the prisons. Frankly, my opinion is, after listening to all of this, the biggest criminals in the prison are wearing a uniform, but that's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. With that said, let me introduce our guest for this evening, and most of you know her anyway, Tanya Hathaway. How you doing, Tanya?
Hi, Marty. Well, thanks for having me on. I mean, it's a privilege to be a host on your network to begin with, but then to actually ask me to be here on this particular forum. You know, I listen to your shows here, and I'm grateful that you see the urgency in what has been exposed and has been being exposed in Oklahoma, and wanting to talk about that tonight.
Well,
I honestly think you have eyes on around your whole head anyways. I don't know how you take it all in, but somehow you do.
The thing is, Tanya, you know, in listening to your shows and the guests that you've had on there are all high caliber, articulate, knowledgeable. These people know what they are talking about. These aren't people that just showed up and, you know, are complaining about nothing. These people are under attack. That's the way
it's not about a raw deal. This is about, lives, livelihood, and many, many people suffering at the hands of the corruptors. And as unfortunately, we know it to be more often than not in Oklahoma, it is at the hands of some of the corrections officers, and it is at the hands of the sheriffs. It is at the hands of prosecutors through the malfeasance and the judges through malfeasance, and the investigators, the forensic labs that are paid by the state, the same people that are prosecuting these victims of wrongful convictions, trying to save their paycheck and keep their alliances. And it's just too much. I'm sure many people can say that in many states. That being said, Oklahoma is does have the most incapacitated per capita in the country, but not only in the country, it's also believed to be in the world. So we're talking about third world countries.
Which basically, overall, basically we are quickly devolving into third world status on many levels.
Well, Oklahoma's there.
Yes, yes.
Oklahoma's in a state of emergency.
Yes.
It's there. Many people don't realize it's there because they haven't found themselves in that horrific situation, and they better keep knocking on wood because you could just step into a hornet's nest one day, and you're going to find out that it's the foxes that are guarding the hen house. You know what I mean? Did I say that right?
Yes, you did. And, you know, Tanya, the thing is, you know, we get on the air and we talk about a lot of things, and I can't travel the way I would like. I do more traveling than I want to, but I can't travel as much as I would like to in response to different events and issues. One of the things you did recently, which I was just in awe of, is you established this rally, organized this rally there in Oklahoma City. Now, that was, for those of you who might be new to this show, Tanya has done an extensive review of various cases there in Oklahoma. She has outed many things that have gone on there. And when she came across this issue of people being falsely imprisoned, fake evidence, fake DNA, it's absolutely a hornet's nest of what they're doing to people there. And of course, this is all facilitated by the courts. Again, we get down to the core of everything. It is the corruption of the court that allows all of this to happen. They're fully aware of what's happening. But most people, you know, we'll do the radio shows, we'll write articles, we'll do this and that. But you actually went one step further and organized this rally, traveled across the country to be there. And can you tell us about the rally, what it was, why you organized it, what you accomplished while you were there?
Absolutely. And I do want to give credit where credit is due to others as well. But, you know, I had a guest on, and this has been in the making for some time now. But of course, you need the people that are willing to take that extra step with you, right? And so there was a guest that was on. Her name is Tina Gertz, and she's been standing up on behalf of some things that were going on in the prison system, and, you know, denial of commutation, and, you know, as it turns out, there might be another shot at that for somebody that she loves. And so I'll be very careful with, you know, how I share the information, because we don't want somebody to be punished because they're standing out against this. But you know, so I shared with her, you know, things that, you know, we need to do to do collaboratively. And so she actually got a permit for a rally at the Capitol and asked, you know, if I'd work on it with her, if she could use Journeys to Justice. So I said, amen, this is happening. And so, you know, because I've been doing this for so long now, and even though to some advocates it may seem like 10 seconds or 10 minutes, but I've been doing it hard because, you know, we need to get in there hard, wholeheartedly. And you know, as we're pivoting to and have been, it's not just about sharing the stories, letting the voices and the stories be told, but it's about doing something about it. What can we do to make what's wrong right? And so so I was able to bring other people that have been on the show to the rally and ask them to speak. And of course, including Tina. So now there is a forum in place where every quarter I'm putting these together, and they cover, you know, you see, many of these matters overlap, like wrongful convictions. They actually overlap into guardian abuse. They overlap into from family court. They overlap into many and law that are being perverted by these corruptors. And I'm going to call it as it is. You know, I used to hear, oh, boy, if you call somebody corrupt, you know, who's involved in court, you know, you could go to jail. Well, you know what? Call me out on it because I'd love to show you. You know what I mean? Call me out. Let's go to a real court of law so I can show the truth that isn't suppressed, you know, and where due process is actually allowed. So there's many layers of the things that are going wrong. There's all kinds of prison abuse that's going on. I mean, horrific prison abuse, and nobody is suggesting that inmates get to, you know, that are charged with, you know, violent offenses or things like that, or any of them, as far as I'm concerned, get to go out and play golf or whatnot. But that being said, they should not be put into these institutions where they are a true risk of their lives for being in there. For instance, just this past week in the news, there were three officers that resigned and they refused to bring several inmates back to a prison that is known to be very, very, very dangerous, just one or two levels under lethal for the gaseous fumes. Okay.
Oh my God.
And that's just one of the infractions that's taking place there. Now the judge ordered them to do this. So this was in the news, okay? That these people resigned, and I have a letter from one of them that was citing all of the dangers. Electricity. Prisoners are taking showers and they get electrical shocks. Okay.
Oh my God.
So let the punishment fit the crime. I think if it's an electrical shock, that means that they're on death row and this is their time to go. Oh, no. But this prison and this judge is suggesting that their lives don't matter, that they can't be reformed. They're not providing a place for reform. There are not separate institutions for people that have mental illness and need help emotionally, so they're not separating those inmates, and so it's a very, very third world setup for the most part in Oklahoma. There is an outstanding number of deaths that have taken place within the prisons and the jails that go without being accounted for and never properly investigated. So, you know, it's that found non-responsive,
After what happened to them that made them non-responsive, you know,
correct.
What happened to them.
And then they hold the bodies
right.
for so long, and then they refuse to share the forensics and the reports and do the various things that they need to establish cause of death. Can they do that? Are they allowed to do that? No. Do they do that? Yes.
Because who's going to hold them accountable?
Well, this is just it. We are.
There you go.
We are. And it's, you know, it is too late for some.
Yeah.
There's known to be 12 people that were wrongfully put to death while a particular woman was in charge, and she is no longer in charge, given the incorrect DNA investigating and exculpatory evidence being withheld. There are known to be at least 12 people that have been put to death. Unfortunately, Oklahoma did not move on to anybody any better, causing these grave errors. Unfortunately, the corrupt system rolls on. And that's why we're speaking out. Now, forums like the Innocent Project and whatnot, it's a wonderful thing. But not everybody's going to death row, and not everybody is going to be helped through the Innocence Project.
Right.
So there's many that are caught in the middle that have no voice at all, and even if they do have family standing up for them, there are not effective ways to be heard and to obtain justice. So we're taking it to other steps.
Right. Okay, when you got to the summit, your rally out there, when you got there, Tanya, what was there any response, any reaction?
The best response was, Marty, that a lot of people from smaller groups came together. And
yeah.
In as much as we would have liked to see, yes, did members of the public come by? Yes. Was every Senate member and House representative emailed specifically about this rally? Absolutely. They were made aware of it. Did some mosey around upstairs looking down or in the hallway, you know, as if they were talking to somebody else? Yes, they did. There was a buzz. However, the most moving moments were, of course, the fact that Fox News cared and showed up and did cover this event, as well as an Enid newspaper did. And, you know, there were certain things that did go viral. Of course, I had wanted to do the last 2 hours of the event live with you, and then unfortunately everything got skewed and I wasn't able to do that, and we wound up ending it a little bit early because the reps all left earlier that day.
Right.
So
of
my apologies for, you know, for opening my big mouth on that and not coming through with it. But we have these different groups there for, like, the straw that broke. This is for the Shrivers brothers, two young men that are in prison for 25 years for a crime that they did not commit. And the forensics prove, well, better yet, the forensics have not proven that they did. Okay.
Right.
So it is not beyond a shadow of a doubt. And yet they are in prison. There are other tire marks in that area that show that another vehicle was involved. And we have the Holtzclaw team, the Daniel Holtzclaw team. They showed up in their t-shirts and with their love and care for everybody else there in pain, suffering. Everybody did. And then we've got, you know, the wrongful convictions t-shirts, you know, these groups of women that have husbands or family members that are, you know, and then we've got, you know, us, you know, and, you know, we have the Journeys to Justice, Public Corruption is Not Okay t-shirt on. And we were all and are now in the same. And that was what was so empowering. Nobody tried to overshadow anybody else's issues. And recognizing that, yeah, people need to continue to fight for justice on their own. But the bigger and the biggest picture is that we are much stronger, united as a group, this grassroots group that promises to solve this problem. Now, that's Journeys to Justice.
Mm-hmm.
Grassroots group that promises to not stop until this problem is solved as a whole. And we have been in touch with legislators. And a very cool thing is that after the rally itself, we had 15 to 20 people get together for dinner and then take it to a hotel lobby afterwards to continue this thought process and keep the energy going. A bunch of very committed people that even showed up that weren't even at the rally. You know? Yeah.
Wow. I think that's great. And Tanya, like I say, I think this sets an example for everyone that if you put your mind to it, you can do these things. You know, you can have these public meetings, these public gatherings where you expose what's going on in there. And it's always better if there's a number of you there. It doesn't have to be a large number, but you have to be vocal. The one way they have gotten away with so much is that they have managed to keep it under the radar. They have managed to keep things quiet about it. So the system has run exactly the way they intended. But when you come out and you speak like this and you come right in on their turf and you speak like this, now you've put them in the position. They have got to do something. They have got to do something. If they sit still behind this, it makes them complicit. It makes them part of the problem. It makes them appear to be saying, well, it's okay with me as long as it doesn't touch me and I get to keep my office. I don't care. In listening to your shows, one of the guests you had on was, and I wish I could remember her name and I can't, but she is a biologist who specializes in DNA. And
Erica Fuchs.
Yes,
Erica Fuchs, and she spoke, and ever so eloquently, as she always does, on behalf of the Holt Squad team, and shows great concern for other flawed forensics and other cases mm-hmm. in Oklahoma and elsewhere. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that to me really, really highlighted just how corrupt that system is, and as bad as it is in Oklahoma, it's just as bad across the country. When we have mm-hmm. the Supreme Court coming out and claiming that prosecutors are immune for prosecution and that it's all right if they lie to you, it's all right if they lie about you, it's all right if they fabricate evidence as long as they win their case. We got a problem.
Well, but we know that's not the case.
Yeah.
When they're acting outside the color of law, you know, and they're not acting within their sworn oaths and their duties of office, then they are not really acting in doing their job. So therefore,
right.
they're not immune. Nobody is immune to purposeful criminal intent and doings while they are an officer of the law or not.
Right.
They're just like you and me.
Yeah.
And if you ask
well,
me, they're
see,
more
they,
guilty because they're the pretenders.
Yes. And so the thing is, when you have to erect a system like this that gives immunity to people who are breaking the law, who are lying, if you have to lie, if you have to fabricate evidence, if you have to reconstruct things to fit your scenario that you're trying to present, you don't have a case. Give it up.
Correct.
You don't have any
and,
right
and
to
when they suppress evidence.
Some, yes. And
right.
and that they are allowed to do this, and then to say that the judge, who is fully aware of what's going on in every case, don't tell me he isn't because I know he is, is also provided qualified immunity. Nobody has immunity. You look at the Constitution of the United States, and it says the laws will be applied equally. It doesn't say if you're wearing a black robe. Says
right.
it will be applied equally, no matter what your status, no matter who you are, whether you're a politician, a judge, a prosecutor, you know, the head of a church, the law will be applied equally.
A public pretender that's paid by the state, who of course is really working for the judge and the prosecutor,
yep.
as you know, as
yeah.
what I saw and heard firsthand yesterday, I listened to an hour of live trial, which is pathetic, where the judge is essentially telling this movement, forgive me, that he's not allowed to tell his story to the senators and to the legislator, and certainly not allowed to let and also the other attorney trying to say that he's not allowed to let anybody else talk about it.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And the thing is, see, there again, that's a violation of your First Amendment rights to free speech. You have a right to speak.
Sure.
You know, the best case I ever saw of that was when Boston Children's kidnapped Justina Pelletier and guardianized her and held her in that hospital against her parents' wishes, wouldn't let her see her parents. Yeah. And they went to court trying to get their daughter back. She was 15, had mitochondrial disease. They said, no, it wasn't. It was psychosomatic. It was all mental. Well, she's now confined to a wheelchair for lack of treatment. But anyway, put a gag order on her parents. Her dad basically flipped him the bird and went on national news and said they'd kidnapped my daughter. And
and that's what you have to do. There's a risk,
yeah.
but that's what you have to do. What
yeah.
have you got to lose
now,
at that point?
And his whole thing was, you need to explain to the public why you tried to gag me. What is it you didn't want them to know? And it
right.
was this basically set in motion the whole medical kidnap thing. but this is what I'm saying.
And that's grossly happening in Oklahoma too. where they're taking, you know, disabled people and then moving them from a loving, caring home, the only home that they've ever known, caretakers that they've ever known, and saying, no, we can take care of them better than you can. Well, if that's the case, then, you know, then that means it takes an awful lot to prove that this person, their loved one, the only one that actually understands their needs, and this one person I'm thinking of that can communicate with this person, you're going to have to prove why on earth this brother should not be taking care of his own brother.
Yes.
A veteran who has, you know, stood up for our country, who's just been now, you know, as we know, narratives are made about these people that are standing up against the corruptors in the system,
mm-hmm.
and they try to make them out to be criminals, but that's not
right.
true. So the truth needs to come out, and there has to be a forum for it. Look, you know what else is in the bird? As of yesterday, there's so many things that just happened in 1 week, and this is only what we know, and unbelievable that it actually made the paper. I mean, that's a nice thing because a lot doesn't. But we've got this ex-judge, all right, who was accused of massive embezzling, so he was taken off the bench. He promised never to try to be a judge ever again, okay? Well, he never promised that he would never try to be a lawyer again. So now this judge, this crooked judge who's known for so many crooked scenarios, but this is the one that actually got him off the bench, is now representing a crooked cop. I mean, what kind of a joke is that in Oklahoma? Right? I'm just curious. Where does that happen?
It's just because of the irony of this, and that this is done blatantly, right in your face. They don't care if you know. They don't care how much you know. Because their opinion is you can't do a damn thing about it. We can be as crooked mm-hmm. and corrupt and raunchy. We can be worse than anybody we put in prison. And we're still walking around.
A letter went out today to the Speaker of the House. You know, I sent another letter.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, nobody really wants to reply. And, you know, we'll see what comes of it. That was, you know, explaining a petition of remonstrance that went forward, which actually takes the process.
Stop. What is a petition for remonstrance?
Woohoo! This is it. Okay, a petition for remonstrance goes way back to like the 1900s or something even further, and I'll get into that a little bit deeper, but it has not been used in over 100 years in Oklahoma. So, therefore, mm-hmm. nobody really knows about what it is in Oklahoma except for the die-hard victims and advocates that are digging very deep with other victims and advocates in finding ways to turn the injustice around. And so this has also been submitted. This is available throughout any state in the country, all right? And it's been submitted in Ohio. It's been submitted in Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
Petition for remonstrance takes the onus right out of the hands of the judge, of the prosecutor, and hands it over to the state, the legislators, okay, to the House, and asks them. So it's supposed to automatically stay the active court proceedings until there is a resolve arrived at. For this remonstrative. So it was actually filed by a gentleman. I'm not going to name his name right now because I don't have him on, and we're just going to go real easy with naming his name because of the threats and the intimidation that the judge put out yesterday in his case where they ignored the remonstrance. That being said, there were some senators that did pay attention to this, scratched their heads over it, and seemed to be interested. He brought it, also filed it with the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court asked a few questions. They went to somebody in the back room, and they wound up filing this remonstrance, okay?
Which Supreme Court of Oklahoma? Or the Supreme Court of the United States?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Oklahoma. And so mm-hmm. they did file it. However, if you look on that docket today, they have removed themselves from it. And that's kind of bittersweet.
Yeah.
Because right now they're saying, oh, gee, we don't have jurisdiction over this
right.
complaint. And they're right. They don't have jurisdiction over it. This goes to the state capitol, to your legislators, and the House that are in place. There are rules. There's impeachment rules in place. Ways to impeach a judge. Now, since the judicial court is doing next to nothing on these outrageous, illicit acts by the judges, you get these typical, oh, not
right.
their jurisdiction, and you can go back and you can show them where it is in their jurisdiction, but then they do
yeah.
nothing about it and insist it's still not, right? They're not doing their
no.
job. The Bar Association, as of course you know, many of us do, they're not doing their job. So they are
mm-hmm.
not acting within the parameters of what they pretend to be acting in. And so as a result, this is what we're driven to do. We are driven to bring up good old-fashioned law. This is constitutional law. This has not been nullified in any state that I know of. And it can and is, can be reignited and has been in Oklahoma, making history. So it's very interesting. Even though the judge in the district court did not acknowledge it, it doesn't matter. That's
yeah.
just more patterns of they don't know what they're talking about. You've got the bar attorneys that are saying, no, they're the watchdogging at the state capitol when these two gentlemen went and they spoke to people about this remonstrance, and the bar attorneys are following around trying to let the legislators know that aren't attorneys that, oh, this is no good, this is no good. Well, it's very good. This is very
mm-hmm.
good. Then one legislator said, well, this is going to go to the attorney general's office and we'll have to hear what he has to say about it. Well, the attorney general's office in this case is moot because the attorney general is part of the problem. It has to
yes.
be taken out of the bar card hands. And he actually got a formal complaint regarding this one case that he chose to ignore, you know, as well as many other cases. So guess what? You guys out there, you don't want to do your job, then we the people will see to it you do. And if you don't know what a remonstrance is, you will know, because there's many more coming, and we are impeaching judges. We are coming together, and we're impeaching judges.
Yes. And the thing is, this thing you said about, you know, jurisdiction and all of this stuff, honest to God, I get so tired of hearing that. You know, you have no standing. Well, you live in that community. Yes, you do have standing. And, you know, it's out of our jurisdiction. Well, what exactly is your jurisdiction? Well, and they can't tell you.
That's an exact conversation that I had with somebody
yeah.
from the judicial accountability,
yeah.
you know, head of the judicial accountability. I said, can you please explain why this isn't? You know, I'm reading
yeah.
right here that it is. Can you explain why it isn't? Because I said so? That's not good enough.
Some years back, I was down at the Minnesota legislature, and I was speaking about these tribunals, guardianship tribunals. And when I came out from speaking, I had angered a lot of people. I know you find that surprising. But anyway, I came out the way talking to a bunch of people, and this man walked up to me who was a state judge. And he said, see, Marty, you don't understand. You just don't understand. I said, well, explain to me, please. What is it that I don't understand? He said, see, if we hadn't created, because I was, my argument was, you know, yes, you can create lower courts as necessary, but they must, because this is included in the Constitution, the courts must be constitutional. But what you have created are tribunals that do not adhere to the Constitution. You strip people of their identity and their rights and their protections. And so this makes these courts, these tribunals, unconstitutional. He said, but see, you don't understand. If we hadn't put this system in place, he said, we would have had to have hired more judges, and he said, in more courtroom space, and he said, and the cost would have been enormous. I said, isn't that what you did? Only you created a non-legitimate, unconstitutional system of tribunals. You did exactly what you claimed you were trying to avoid. So where is the logic in that, other than the fact that you were intending to violate people's rights and you set up a system that would allow you to do that? The man got so mad at me, Tanya, his face turned purple, his eyes kind of bugged a little bit, and he says, I can see there's no sense talking to you. I said, I know, because I said, I can knock down every one of your arguments. And I said,
it's
now,
true.
Yes, I said, what you said to me may have made sense to somebody else, but I said, I can see the ridiculousness of it from here. And so now I'm persona non grata in the judicial community. I don't know why. And you know what a peach I am. But anyway.
Well,
you know,
listen,
you go
to
back.
This. American. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, American Law and Procedure, Volume 13, page 137, 1910. People are not persons. Persons are defined as non-sovereigns. A sovereign is someone who is not subject to statutes. A person is someone who voluntarily submits himself to statutes by contract and or by sworn oath and or affirmation. In the United States, the people are sovereign over their civil servants, i.e. the judge, the prosecutor, the attorney general, the legislature. Alexander versus Bosworth, 1915, party cannot be bound by contract that he has not made or authorized. Free consent is an indispensable element in making valid contracts. Then we have 18, United States Code, 1654, hidden in plain sight. Public notice, affidavit of dishonor and noncompliance, violation 18, 1654, Foreign Agents Registration Act, which is FARA, F-A-R-A,
yep.
All public servants, officials, congressmen, politicians, judges, attorneys, law enforcement officers, states and their various agencies, etc., are the express agent of foreign principles. Okay, so this goes on, and it just validates our rights as we, the people, and that the civil servants do work for us. Does that mean that we want them to grovel in the dirt and come to us and beg us for some figgy pudding? No. Well, maybe yes now at this point. But but the point is that they are to abide by the constitutional law, you know, human and civil. Of human and civil society,
right.
And they've broken them by forming the bar, by forming the Council on Judiciary, which we might not think so bad of if they were actually well intended and well doing,
right?
But they're not.
No. And you know, that's another thing, Tanya, going back to the Constitution. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say, in order for me to access the law, I have to carry a bar union dues card. Nowhere does it say that. And the law is not only to be applied equally, it's to be accessed equally. And this thing about you're practicing law without a license, you don't have one either. You got a bar union dues card. You don't have any such license. And, you know, this constantly coming after you, but you can't get in there because you're not trained in the law. Well, obviously you aren't either. You've just misquoted it 9 times. You know that. You know what I'm saying. This is just all we have allowed ourselves to become subjugated by this private, powerful, lucrative union that has absolutely destroyed our judicial system. The judicial branch of government is so corrupt. It is so eaten up with fraud and abuse and waste and collusion and conspiracy against individuals. And it's all done for money. And so,
it's all done for money,
saying,
for positioning power.
Yes.
And and we're having each other's backs because there are so many that are doing the wrong thing. And you know, for those out there that are disgusted by these acts that are taking place, and they, you know, you might be a judge, you might be an attorney, you know, you might be one of the good ones, You know, we're not talking about you, but we'd actually like you to take your disgust one step further and step out and join this grassroots effort. Well, this is a grassroots promise to put an end to these atrocities that are taking place in Oklahoma and, of course, in others. But, you know, I mean, I just read, you know, the sister of Daniel Holtzclaw, who we know, this is another international case, along with, you know, Richard Glossop. You know, Richard Glossop's been on death row and almost been injected to death, and with the help of Susan Sarandon, you know, they did put a stay. He's been, you know, sent to death row three different times. And thank goodness there is actually some hope now for, three different times. And the last time the officers saw somebody go through, like, inhumane pain, being injected with the wrong drugs. And was paralyzed and not injected with these drugs, and people were witness to the most horrific incidents of being put to death that you can imagine. And I suppose there might be, you know, somebody who says, well, that guy deserved it. And, okay, so if you think so, that's just fine. That's just fine. But I don't care to watch somebody, you know, dying for an hour when they can't move and they're supposed to be dead within two minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he was the next one in line, and officers spoke up and said, no, I know these drugs still are not good. All right.
Yeah.
So of course, you know, Mike Hunter, the attorney general, is just, you know, he's laser focused on making sure that they get those drugs right. But then the drug companies are not wanting to work with the Mike Hunters of the world, because they don't want to be liable for any of this kind of stuff either. And, you know, so, but in any event, there's really good things that are happening in that case, that it looks like he's going to wind up being a free man, you know, what, 30 years later. But in the Daniel Holtzclaw case, Jenny Holtzclaw, you know, she just shared, you know, here we go. There's one of his accusers, you know, that he's, you know, in an unknown prison, right, for 260 something years for various counts of rape and whatnot, where there are no forensics that lead to beyond a shadow of a doubt. And as a matter of fact, the prosecutor misinformed the jury about those forensics, where there actually was no, there was not the kind of forensics that the jury said that there was, which is really,
right,
you know, what tipped them over the edge, because it's like, oh, DNA, you can't deny that. Well, that DNA that was brought to the attention of the jury was a lie.
Yes.
A lie. Now imagine being a jury member knowing now that you sent somebody to prison for 263 years or however long it is, learning that the truth is that they were lied to by the prosecution.
Yeah.
That indeed that fact was not a fact. That was malfeasance. So anyways, Jenny shares, one of the accusers is once again in jail for possession of a controlled dangerous substance. I mean, we've got, you know, it doesn't mean that these people that have accused Daniel Holtzclaw of these crimes have not experienced.
What's he supposed to, Tanya? What's he supposed to have done?
He is supposed to have raped and sodomized I think it was a 15-year-old at the time. And as from that point on, and this was right after a young black man had been fatally shot by a police officer, not in Oklahoma, but somewhere else. And this was very much on the forefront and angering many people, as it should, because it was, you know, an unarmed young man that once again, a black man who was fatally shot. And this is happening, you know, far too often, you know, it's happening far too often. And so there was some great deal of tension throughout our country, in the cities, bigger cities, and specifically, and of course, in Oklahoma City as well, in regard to these kinds of bad police that were just hitting the trigger. They're pulling the trigger before they really did know. And it just so happened that they were pulling the trigger on more black men than anything else. That should never happen. Everybody should be treated equally. And so here is Daniel Holtzclaw, who is an Asian American, and he's been accused of something. So he's one of the good guys in a very corrupt organization of Oklahoma City Police Department officers and whatnot. And so they decided to use this as an opportunity, and they went actually fishing, and they went and they were seeking out other people that he might have stopped and might have, you know, come into contact with. And so, and where DNA might have been passed, casual contact DNA, a strip search, a handing over of a, not a strip search, but a patting down, a handing over of a license of, you know, at one point he helps somebody and he drops something off for somebody. Well, these people that had records on their own for prostitution, for drugs, for this and that, you had something to lose if they didn't go along with the investigators that tried to get them to say Daniel Holtzclaw did this to me, that he touched me wrong, that he made me perform oral, you know, oral sex on him, things like that. Well, there's no DNA. There's no, and there's been several of these people who have actually come back and redacted, said that they were told to say these things. There's actually, you can see, you can actually see an interview between an alleged victim where the interviewer is saying, well, how tall is he? And so the woman says, oh, he's X tall. Well, Daniel Holtzclaw is much taller than that. Oh, and he's skinny. Well, no, Daniel Holtzclaw is a bodybuilder. He's actually a fairly big guy. And oh, and it was a, and it was a dark man. You know, he was black or whatever. And well, Daniel Holtzclaw is not a dark man. He's Asian American. You know what I mean? So there's in contradiction to this, in contradiction to what this woman said, they still went ahead and charged him. You know what I mean? So there's all kinds of like crazy stories.
We've got Brian Kinter has joined us. Brian, are you there?
I am.
Oh, by the way, did Stephen Burke sign up here? Because I know he wants to broadcast this show. Okay, great. Thank you, Stephen, from KLRB 89.9, Stuart, Oklahoma.
Brian, did you have a question or comment?
Well, I did. I had a couple of comments because I know Daniel Holtzclaw plays very, very well. I worked on that with the Innocence Project and Amnesty International. If you look at Daniel's case, there was 13 people that have accused him, not just one. Okay, or 21 accusers. 13 of those 21 people either admitted to lying or they were not believed by the prosecution or the jury. Then as one digs into understanding Daniel Holtzclaw's case, they begin to unravel that this was all premeditated because Daniel Holtzclaw's girlfriend was having a sexual liaison with one of the parties that was in the investigative department of the police department. So in order to remove Daniel from that relationship, they simply concocted this entire damn story and set up the thing. Well, then the judge was saying that it was very difficult not to believe 21 different people. Well, you know, it's like, okay, you lie and I swear to it, and we get enough people to swear to the lie, then the lie becomes the truth. And that's one of the underlying factors of the entire judicial process. And our argument is that there was never any evidence. There was never any physical evidence that solidified any of the accusations. Not one. In fact, quite the opposite.
And they should have actually tried these cases separately. You know, they should have tried these separately, and they didn't. Instead, they clumped them all in one to make it look like it was yet again another witch hunt. And now, so Erica Fuchs, who Marty you brought up, who has been on and is a very great in sharing the forensics. She's the one who actually, you know, broke open the flawed forensics. Okay, so what? The fact is that there is none. Now, she has started up something that's called Uncuff the Innocent, okay, her and three others that are police officers that have been wrongfully charged that are assisting the Daniel Holtzclaws of the world and Mike Oxley as well. And he's been on our show, my show as well. He's another police officer wrongfully charged in the Pill Mill case. So I don't know anything about any sexual liaisons between the ex or whatnot, and that doesn't seem to be a major pointer or anything in the case with Holtzclaw as it stands now, because the fact is this has been for 2 years pending permission to bring forth the forensics that Erica Fuchs has uncovered, you know, that shows the flawed forensics that would have him a free man and should have many months ago.
Well, if anybody can even watch the documentary there called Railroaded, okay, Michelle Malkin, who was an investigative journalist that went from New York out there to cover that story, she spent, you know, over a year they're really trying to dig into it and seeing what was going on and how the whole climate, it was politically motivated, you know, because as you had said earlier about the African-American that had been accused of the crime and allegedly by a police officer. So they were really going to show everybody the cracking down of the whip. And this is one of the biggest arguments that we have right now going before the United Nations, is the fact that the justice system gives an illusion of justice with no evidence to substantiate their claim. So what they do is they'll take and they'll grab a hold of a story and they'll twist that story to meet their agenda so that they can continually railroad the American people. Daniel Holtzclaw is an innocent man, in my humble opinion, based upon the facts and the evidence that had already been presented that nobody wants to address. And that's one of the fallacies of our judicial process. It is a complete fallacy.
Amen, Brian. Amen. And you know, Michelle still is covering this story, and she is she comes on the Pat Campbell Show once a week and talks about that. And she's still in the forefront. You know, she did the Daniel in the Den series as well. And, of course, they have Catherine Zellner now, who is handling the civil matters for Daniel Holtzclaw. And so she's a big, big-name attorney. And so this isn't going away. And you know, we're working to establish a united front where precedent is made. And, you know, it's a good thing that there are the Daniel Holtzclaw cases and it's a bittersweet, you know, but there are, beyond a shadow of the doubt, proofs. And we're finding this, the more cases that, you know, are uncovered, that guess what? These people have gotten so cocky, so flagrantly flamboyant and just so feeling that they can do whatever they want to do in these courts and in these investigations and in these science labs and with the prosecution, that they have left some pretty gross evidence of malfeasance. So that's the bittersweetness of it. They just think that they can do whatever they want to do. Now, does that mean that they have destroyed rape kits, that they've destroyed evidence? Does that not mean? Well, yes, they have. Yes, they have. But we have so much that proves the malfeasance that you just can't turn and look the other way. This is a systematically flawed system in Oklahoma and the judiciary, and the public defenders are working for the prosecutors. They're not working for you. They're working for the judges, they're not working for you in essence, okay? And even your attorney, you know, that you pay good money to, you might as well not pay a penny for, because if they come and they defend you when you are exposing this kind of madness that's going on, then they'll lose their license to practice. I've seen many cases of that in Oklahoma. I've seen many cases. I've been told also, firsthand by people that have said, well, the goons showed up to my attorney's house the night before and threatened their family, and therefore my attorney did not represent me. He did not show up the next day. We're talking about some crazy third world horrific things. And now the House representatives, the Senate, they are made aware of it. And they have been made aware that we are bringing to them the articles of impeachment so that they can start impeaching these judges, because we have plenty of stories of cases of matters with proof lined up, and now they're going to have to do their job. So the approach with them is, let us help you, and we're sure that you are going to stand up for us. Now, there was just yesterday in this hearing that was recorded, there's this one public defender, pretender, that said to his client, you know, a man who's being wrongfully charged with some things, he said that in essence, the legislators are dumb. They don't even know half of the bills that they pass and what's in it. You know, Marty, I sent you a recording of that as an MP3. You know, of course, any recordings that I send, if we got around to playing them, we can't prove them to be exactly who they say that they are. But all I can tell you is I listened to this live happening yesterday. There was a court watcher that was recording it, and I was on the phone listening to it. Crazy stuff that's happening, that it's just, they're not flukes. And if there were mistakes, they'd be made right. But Brian, as you know, they're not made right. They're not made right. So these are not mistakes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
The thing that bothers me about all of this is you can research the law, you can present them with the law, you can present them with case law to support what you're alleging, what you're wanting done, and they will still just say, well, it's either I don't have jurisdiction, you don't have any standing, I'm not going to hear this case, I'm not going to look at it. Lisa out there in Boston, who filed two RICO cases, sent the first one in to the judge, federal court, and it obviously is a RICO case, had just tons of documentation taken right out of public records showing the collusion and corruption between various individuals in this guardianship thing and how they were raiding these estates. The judge sent it back, never admitted to the fact that it was a RICO, but said it was too verbose. There were just too many words for her to have to read. And I thought, okay, Lisa filed it a second time, cut it down considerably. Apparently the staple was in the wrong place or at the wrong angle, or the paper wasn't the right weight, or this was wrong or that was wrong. Something was wrong, but they wouldn't hear the case. And they never admit to the fact that it was a RICO. They never allude to it. They never mention the word. Nothing. They simply dismiss it on some other, like in the first instance, it was too verbose. I wrote that judge a letter and told her that she ought to remove herself from the bench if there were too many words in something for her to read. She obviously was not qualified to be there, and she ought to do everybody a favor. And I said, as a person who is not formally trained in the law, if I could read through this and see exactly what was going on, you should have had no problem. But apparently you did. And I never got a response from her, but, you know, I wrote the letter nonetheless. But this is what I'm saying. They don't care what you know. They don't care how much you know. They don't care how. They don't care because they're not going to do anything anyway. The legislature is not going to hold them accountable. And there again, you read the Constitution. All laws are to originate in the House, and the House, the Congress, is the one who sets the rules for the court. But we have turned this around, and now we have these courts making their own rules and putting them out there as if they are law.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not the way it's supposed to be. They
it's
are
not
supposed
the way it's
to be controlled.
To be.
Yeah, they are supposed to be controlled by the legislature, but they're not. They're not. They're operating
right.
as a rogue institution. The law means nothing, nothing, unless it can be used against you. And then they'll drag all kinds of laws out of the closet and out from under the bed and out of the cupboard and everywhere else to nail you. But otherwise,
mm-hmm.
they don't know anything about it. You know what I'm saying, Tanya. They don't know anything
about it. Oh, my
gosh,
it. Yeah.
You don't
and
know what
they
you're
use these big
about.
Words thinking that we don't know how to look them up. Well, you know, I've got
yeah.
a big word for them that, quite honestly, I didn't know about until not that long ago. It's called remonstrance.
Yeah.
So screw you guys, because you are
yeah.
going to be held accountable for,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, for doing what is right, what is expected of you, what is within
yeah.
your duties to do. And with this, the grassroots movement, okay, with more and more citizens of Oklahoma seeing that if they don't do it, they don't get voted back in. So, you know, whether
yeah.
they're good actors or bad actors, they better think about acting good, because if they want their cushy little positions, all right,
mm-hmm.
then they better be doing the right thing. Because
well,
that's
know,
what happens when you have grassroots movements. You know, we're really not asking, you know, permission. We're just saying, guess what? We're all watching you, and this is what we're saying that you need to do, because we happen to know it's the law.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is about voting. Now, before the Bush-Cheney election, we voted by paper ballots, so you could count the ballots. And
mm-hmm.
But that was the election where they brought in Diebold and I can't remember, Diebold and Sequoia, electronic voting
mm-hmm.
machines. Now,
mm-hmm.
every voting machine or every gambling machine in Las Vegas must make its programming available to inspectors so they can make sure it's not rigged. But for some reason
mm-hmm.
with these voting machines, they can't. It's proprietary and nobody can view it. The voting machine can only reproduce on a recount what it came up with the first time. They've already proven the voting machines all have a programmed back door in them so they can alter the results of the election. So
this is just
voting,
so disgusting.
It is. Voting, to me, is basically pointless. I'll use an example of Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. Even in Kentucky, people hate the mention of that man's name. Absolutely will spit on the ground at the mention of that man's name. And yet somehow he keeps getting elected. How does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you look at these elections. I just I think we've got to come up. I had a guy on the show here a couple years ago, Tanya, named David Frank, and his suggestion was everybody's got a cell phone or even a landline, and you register by your phone number. Your phone number can only be used
mm-hmm.
one time, and you vote by phone. Everybody's got one.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought,
right.
that's a good idea. And you
that's
can, you
idea.
Know, you try to log in and vote a second time, or somebody else tries to use your number, they can't. But something has to be done to secure the vote. I cannot believe, when Bush and Cheney got elected the second time, I couldn't believe it. The country was ready to come apart at that point.
Right.
The hatred of these two men. And yet somehow they got reelected.
Yep.
And I don't
yep.
believe it. So
and I know
I
we're like
think...
non-political and everything, but it doesn't matter. They didn't belong there. And you
no.
know what I mean? We got to
yeah.
name those that are doing the wrong thing. I don't give a hoot whether green,
yeah.
purple, you know, red, blue.
Very...
This is what it's all about. And that's the beautiful thing with uniting is, the
yeah.
bottom line is none of us should care, you know, what political affiliation is, because the affiliation called corruption is in a world of its own. And or
yes.
you know, or wrongdoings, and we just need to, you know, solve those problems.
Exactly.
Yep.
And so voting these people in or out, I don't think is the option. I think impeaching them out of office so that they can't run again, if you
right.
could get anybody to do it. But see, they won't. And I think the reason for that, Tanya, is the corruption is so pervasive that whatever Legislator X might know about Legislator Y. Legislator Y knows twice that much about Legislator X. So it's kind of a like a quiet blackmailing system. You tell on me, I'm going to out you. And
exactly.
So you know, this is what you get into. So it's up to the public. It's up to the public. And one of the things I've noticed, like on Facebook, is all the groups like Brian's group, Judicial Accountability Movement, that are devoted to this corruption in the courts, of rectifying it, stopping it.
Right.
I mean, these disbarring the bar. This is becoming a national consensus. And the statement
exactly.
is, this is not working anymore. You've corrupted the system. You've bastardized the law. This is not working anymore. And
right.
this is why they have begun purging so many pages, taking pages out last month. What was it, 800 pages they took down on Facebook that were anti-government in the sense of not like we don't need government. Everybody agrees we do, but not corrupt
right.
government. Not corrupt
right.
government.
I mean, I was blocked with a Facebook live the other day. I was trying to do it with this gentleman that did actually make history in submitting a petition of remonstrance in Oklahoma, and we weren't able to bring each other on. We were being
right.
blocked from
yes.
being able to actually have, you know, the powers that be, they do amazing, amazing things, you know, the powers that shouldn't be. So,
mm-hmm.
So we need to exactly bring that forward. And look, we've got like Attorney General Hunter, right? So you're supposed to, when they're public pages, you are supposed
mm-hmm.
to be allowed to criticize on their public
yes.
pages, not bastardize,
yep.
not, you know,
yep.
swear at somebody, not this and not that. You're supposed to be able to ask questions and publicly criticize. Well, guess what? These are being monitored, and public criticism is being taken down. I've been blocked.
Yes.
I've been blocked, and I'm not nasty. I'm just saying it
right.
as it is. You know, that's their nasty that I'm, you know, it's their nasty. So they create this image of themselves, and they illegally censor their own public pages.
Right.
They illegally censor it. Look, I've been in touch with the FBI, with him, about RICO going on in Tulsa District Court. About RICO, proven go. I mean, it's undeniable. You know, let this group of us come and meet with you.
No.
They don't even care. They don't want to know who.
No.
They don't want to sit down. They don't want to open a case. So what does that tell you? I mean, I know that Hunter is from Tulsa. That's his
mm-hmm.
home stomping grounds. You know,
yep.
you know, so they won't even, the FBI won't even touch it. Well, guess what? There's somebody in the Bar Association high up that's married to somebody who's high up in the FBI. You know, there's far too much going on behind the scenes in connections and protections, oppression and suppression, and perverting this system that it is time to, you know, do what we're doing and,
yeah.
you know, set an example right in Oklahoma and show that it does work. Show that it does work
well,
because people just concentrating on wrongful convictions and prison abuse and all that were there at this rally, that was a beautiful thing. But that's only one segment of people. There's
yeah.
so many
yep.
people that are interested in this.
Exactly. And this is why they're taking down pages. Twitter did the same thing. Anything that wasn't politically correct, as far as the government's concerned, was purged off of Twitter. This is what we're facing. One of the sites that was taken down is one called the Free Thought Project, and I had Matt Angrist on. Yeah, they had over 4 million, almost 5 million followers, and or subscribers to the page. And they took them down. They took down the police that had 5.5 million followers. And Matt routinely reports on the abuses of law enforcement. I mean, gross abuses of law enforcement. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they do excellent work. And I recommend that sight to everyone. They're still online, thank God. But
right.
You know, that the attempts to shut these people down, which of course then scares another section of people who think, oh, well, they did that to him. I need to shut up. No, you need to get louder. You need
right.
to get louder.
Right.
We are the only ones who can change this. We are the only
right.
ones. We have to demand change, and we have to hold them accountable. And we have to do that by removing them from office. You can't wait for an election, because by the time the election comes, they've done so damn much damage, you can't survive anyway.
Right.
And they're going to, like I say, I don't believe in the vote anymore. This last election, Tanya, was the first time in my adult life that I did not vote. I walked up to City Hall and went to go in to vote, and I'm standing there thinking, I can't do this. I'm not going to
mm-hmm.
pick between two unqualified people and do this.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. And I walked away, and I cried all the way home. That's the first time I ever missed voting.
I believe it.
You know,
yeah.
But I just could not go in there and be forced to vote of the proverbial lesser of two evils. Evil is evil.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't do it. And that upset me terribly, because it's something I take very seriously.
Very seriously.
You know?
Yeah.
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 And
whoops.
But we're just being wrecked, you know, with this stuff. And like I say, so it's got to be done a different way. Voting, I think, is rigged from one end to the other. Here in Minnesota, when it comes to judges, you'll get to a page on their ballot is several pages long, and you'll get to the one on judges, and there'll be Supreme Court judges and state judges and federal judges and this judge and that judge, and there's two people on there. Thing you need to understand is, it doesn't make any difference if you vote for either one of them or not. We also have a line under there that says other. I always write my own name in. And
good for you.
But, yeah.
I love it. I'd write your name in too.
Yeah, 3 years ago I got three votes. And I want to know who those
you.
Other people were. But
mm-hmm.
what my point is, no matter whose names appear there, one of those two already has the job. No matter who you
right.
vote for. And the other one has got another job. Both of them are getting a payoff out of this. So you aren't
mm-hmm.
voting for anybody. They got capped by the bar and the judiciary for that position. They get capped for that position because they're owed favors. And you can just imagine what those favors are. Nobody's record is exposed. Nobody has to campaign. Nobody, you know, what they've done in the law is never an issue. Now, how can you elect
mm-hmm.
a judge when you know nothing about him? And
mm-hmm.
just because the Bar Association, the judiciary said one of these two people is going to get this top position, we've already picked him, but you just don't know which one it is. And you
mm-hmm.
think you voted for somebody? You think you elected someone? No, you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
No, you didn't. The decision was made before you ever walked in the booth. And
mm-hmm.
this, I have a problem with this, Tanya. And I've heard people this year talking about this, how it's pointless to vote. I think this last presidential election, which two of the most unqualified people ever to walk the earth in this country are running. Now, how do you vote?
It's scary. I tell you
yes.
what, and the person I said would be the last person I voted for was the person that I voted for. Now, I'm glad
yeah.
that I did. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that being said, you still were like, boy, I hope that this is.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? Again, I don't want to get all political on, you know, because I don't
yeah.
want people to hate me because of one side or the other. But it's really not about sides. You know, it's
yeah,
really
it's
about doing
it's
what's right for our country. And
Tanya, if people don't let go of this fictitious right versus left, Republican versus Democrat, liberal versus conservative, if they don't let go of this, is a wedge that is intentionally driven into
exactly.
the public.
Exactly.
And it is done
yes.
to keep you fighting among yourselves. And you know yourself,
yes.
Tanya, when we got out to D.C., it's one big party and you wasn't invited. That is just when they say it's two wings of the same bird, that is exactly
yeah.
the way it is. These people are
mm-hmm.
all working together, And whether they're, when they play the Democrat, Republican card, that's for the camera. When the camera's
yep.
off, they're all buds, all of them.
Right.
And
right.
And you know, we saw that firsthand.
Yeah, we seeing it firsthand. See it again. You know, and the, just the key is to focus on solving the problem. And
yes.
And thank God, you know, that. You know, there's a bunch of us that are really doing that are really committed to it. And, you know, I see that with what you're doing and you know, and I think that's, you know, why we blend so well is, okay, let's talk about solving the problem. Okay, so where your voice is heard and your story is told. So that's my motto on my show, okay? But what are we going to do as a result of it? And so this isn't just about, you know, the whining. And I have had nobody on that has whined. You know,
right.
We talk about the issues and we find the common ground with the other issues. And we're and it's important to know that these people that are the victims, they are not alone. And as soon as they realize that, they're empowered and a good deal of them step up. Some people have come out from the shadows for over the last year or two that were too afraid to come out and speak. I can
right.
understand that and don't judge it at all, knowing what I know. You know,
mm-hmm.
but that being said, you know, this is all about solving the problem and sharing the stories, you know, that can, we can fill the Capitol, we can fill these podcasts day in, day night with people telling their stories, and we'll keep doing that, but bringing through the common ground, the issue of, you know, the public corruption that's taking place, the malfeasance
right.
that's taking place. And this is not a pity party. This is, guess what? We just got how many more people that are strong, that are coming on board with this grassroots
mm-hmm.
movement that's doing this kind of work over there while this one's doing that kind of work. And we got somebody organizing. We got somebody, you know, putting all these names together here
right.
and there. And this stuff is happening. Stuff is happening.
Yeah.
Committees are being formed and, oh. You know, so that's,
well, I think
that's
people
the point.
Have, I think people have reached a saturation point. And by that, I mean that they have taken about all they're going to take. It has
yes.
gotten so bad. It has gotten so bad for the common everyday
mm-hmm.
person that stepping out of your house is dangerous because you mm-hmm. don't know. You know, I had a question posed to me today, Tanya, which is one I've asked myself. That said, the man who wrote me, he said, Marty, do you think our own military would ever turn on us? And my response was, yes. And I said, if you look at the police departments, the people right in our communities who are paid by us to protect and serve, but who now say they have no obligation to protect us. Supreme Court stood that up too, said they
mm-hmm.
have under no obligation to ensure your safety, and even only on a limited basis when they have arrested you. And
mm-hmm.
I said, look at the number of people they have shot and killed. I said, they're walking into people's yards shooting their dogs for no reason. Recently, a chihuahua. I know that was a threat.
Right, I saw that.
Yes. And so, you know, here they're, but we see that the militarization of our police, they've now got military weapons. They've got tanks, grenade launchers, sound weapons. They've got every kind of military toy you can think of for a police department. A police
mm-hmm.
department. They used to be
mm-hmm.
called peace officers. Now they're called
then,
law officers.
Then guess what? Why aren't there body cams on every single one of them when they're out there?
Yep.
That's what I want to know.
Exactly. Yep. And but
that's
I
what
think
I want to know.
Look at the police who are right in our communities, who are willing to violate our rights, to assault us, to shoot us, even if they decide to and claim, I was fearful for my life. And the way I feel about that, Tanya, is if you're that damn scared that you have to shoot a man running away from you in the back eight times, you're in the wrong job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but what I'm saying is if they would do this, you can take it to the bank. I had a young man that one of my granddaughters was seeing who got accepted to West Point here a few years back. And he had worked for this all of his young life to get that appointment. He lasted about 2 weeks there and called him, wanted to come home. And when I asked him what was wrong, he said, I'll tell you when I get there. The only thing he would say when he got home was, it wasn't what I thought it was. And the straw that broke the camel's back was when we were told that we were being trained for when, not if, but when they declared martial law. He said, that's not what I was signing up for. He said, I was signing up to defend this country, not attack it.
Right.
And, you know, when we see what's happening in these courts to people, these wrongful prosecutions and convictions, the deprivation of rights and liberty, and they do this
mm-hmm.
right in your face. You've exposed that so well on your show. They
mm-hmm.
do it right in your face, and they do not care what you know. You know that it's crooked and it's corrupt. And
the most innocent people are suffering the most.
Yes.
Because they have their story to tell. And so they are being put through such a ringer. They are so intimidated by these powers that be, if you will, that they are scared to death. Not all of them, because,
yes.
like I said, a lot of them are coming out and talking, but they're scared to death. And, you know, they're worried about their kids. They're worried about their loved ones, they're worried about their livelihood, you know, and those that would do something about it, that, you know,
yeah.
but they're just one step away from doing it, but they can't because they'll lose their livelihood at best.
Yes.
You know, so look, we've got a police officer that came and spoke at the rally, and he was on the show with Erica. And he came in and he spoke, and guess what? He disclosed himself to the news as being a Tulsa police officer. Well, when him and I were talking privately, and I knew that I was going to, you know, just say Northeast Oklahoma police officer, because that's how he wanted to put it, and also that his opinions are his own. Well, I let him know privately. I said, oh, my gosh, Tulsa, huh? Well, boy, I tell you, you know, I didn't say a whole lot about my own stuff there. You know, because I'm fighting for the public corruption to be snuffed out to begin with. But, you know, I stepped
right.
into my own hornet's nest. I was like, are you aware of? And are you aware? And it's like, wow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. And,
yeah.
and so a lot of these, some of these people just don't know. But then you've
right.
got the Jason Angel, who is standing up on behalf of Eric Holtz, of Daniel Holtzclaw, who
mm-hmm.
he too rolled his eyes and said, how could Michelle Malkin, how is she going to prove to everybody that this guy is innocent? That's like so far-fetched, and listened in just to be able to prove her wrong, to slam down
yeah.
every one of her, you know, her statements that she was making on his behalf, which
uh-huh.
is my understanding also, she went to report on the story and come
yeah.
to find out, expected to report on this really bad cop who she took the time to actually do her job, like far too many investigative journalists aren't doing, but thank goodness for the ones that are. And she realized that this was a horrifically flawed investigation and case, and that there is an innocent man that needs to be freed. And he sits for two
right.
freaking years waiting to be given permission to show this new evidence. That's ridiculous.
Right.
What are they trying to figure out?
What are they trying to hide?
Yeah. It's like, what, you have another year to retire and then they'll let somebody else take it over? Stop the nonsense. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yep. We've got, Tanya, we've got about 7 minutes left here. In closing, what would you like to say?
Well, what I'd like to say to those that are, whether they're inside of Oklahoma or outside of Oklahoma, I would like to say, you know, to pay attention to your local state and what's going on. It can be a little overwhelming when you look at the country in general, but if you want to find out how you can really make a difference is, you know, I'm not saying to try to find something that's going wrong, but you might be curious as to what is going wrong and what groups are there to advocate for innocence, okay?
Right.
And for those that have been wrongfully convicted and are up against these Goliaths. for those that are in Oklahoma, I encourage you to continue to reach out. The way that you can reach out to me is through emailing me at injusticeinoklahoma@gmail.com. I am taking stories, your verified cases, and if you want, and if you can prove that a judge needs to be impeached, I'm all over that. We've got a committee,
yep.
And we're building that committee. You've got to be verified to be a part of this group. And if you can also, you can let me know what you can do to offer your time on behalf of this grassroots movement with promise to fix what's going on in Oklahoma. So I would like to say that. I would like to say listen in to on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. Central, because every Sunday you're going to hear more about what's going on in Oklahoma and about how we're doing. I encourage court watchers and advocates to reach out to me, because we do need more court watchers there to sit on the side of the victim of this malfeasance and let the judges know that there are people out there listening. And that's how we have formed some great alliances between people out there, is by putting court watcher together with a victim.
There you go.
Yeah, and that I'm looking for help with these rallies and to go knocking on doors. Contact me that way. Look up Facebook Journeys to Justice, Facebook Injustice in Oklahoma Exposed. Follow along, participate, and we really appreciate all of the encouragement and engagement. We're all in this together.
There you go, Tonya. And that's the thing,
and
I think that's finally
summit.
Yeah. And that's what's finally dawning on people. If they don't stand up, they don't stand up together, we don't stand a chance. We're up against an organized criminal racket that masquerades as the judicial system. We are being raped by these attorneys in retaining fees and other expenses, and then they end up not representing you. Now, to me, that's breach of contract, and I think you should be able to sue them. But apparently it's okay as far as the court is concerned. I don't know how we got to this point, Tonya. I don't know how we got to this point. But we have got to turn this around if we are going to survive as a country. In my opinion, this is my opinion, I'm speaking for me, our own government has turned on us. And it has turned on us with a vengeance. And they are using this twisting of the law and this perversion of the law to prosecute and persecute us. And if we don't stand up and put a stop to this, if we don't stand up and say that's all, no more, I don't know how this is going to end up. I really do not know how this, but I will say that in the last 6 months, and after all these years of being involved in politics, legislative issues, one cause after another, I have never heard people so disgusted, so angry, and so fed up with the status quo. I have never seen people this angry. But we've got about 90 seconds left here. Tonya, I want to thank you for coming on here and talking with us, and I wanted to hear about your rally, and we will cover the next one as well. And I want to invite everybody to listen to Tonya Talks on Sunday nights at 7 Central. It's always a good show, always a good show. And we will be back. I want to thank you all for listening in. I want to remind you about the Whistleblower Summit taking place in July 29th, 30th, and 31st. We'll be there. Me, Tonya, and a whole bunch of other people. Please join us if you can. And with that, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Tonya, thank you for being my guest this evening. And good night, everyone.
Thank you.